And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, again, this week I'm coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, and, you know, I always seem to talk about the weather. That seems to be something that we all are thinking about these days. Our prayers go out to all of those that are in the north, across the Midwest and the Northeast, and that are experiencing lots of snow this year and cold weather. Our prayers go out to you, and I'm always reminded, and I hope that we're always reminded, to think about others who in their area of the world are suffering cold extremes, and not only here in the United States, but in Europe and around the world. A lot of folks listen to our program, and we pray for others around the world all the time. We have people that send in questions and requests for prayer and times that we've had that we've prayed for people as they are searching for God's answers in their lives and just to deal with things, where they're going, direction and that they're heading, praying for churches, finding a church, praying for loved ones and their families. You know, studying Bible prophecy helps us to understand the times in which we're living. That's one of the things that we always talk about as we are preaching and teaching people about Bible prophecy. Again, it's not just trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, the sensational aspects of Bible prophecy, because a lot of people do get involved in that. And they forget about the whole reason, I believe, that Bible prophecy is included in God's Word. Over a third of God's Word, the way that He communicates with us, is Bible prophecy. Why did God put that much emphasis on future events? And sometimes, and why is it so tough? And why are there so many different angles of looking at Bible prophecy and different views, and one guy says this, who do we believe? We have people that send us questions all the time about, you know, who do you believe? Who can you believe? And remember, we always take you back to God's Word. We say, go back to the Word of God. Just read God's Word. Study it. When you think about it, why did God spend so much time in the way that He communicates with us, talking about future events? It's because He wants us to be aware of the urgency of the time that we are living. He has a master plan, a master game plan for all of mankind. History past, history present, and history future. And that's contained in His Word. I really believe, you know, in this day and age of technology, it's become so easy to let other people digest our food for us, you know, to read this Word, His Word that He's given to us, the meat. But a lot of us have stayed like babies. And that's really what the Word says, you know, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. And as we start to grow as a Christian, and we become mature adult Christians, how funny would it be if we're still, you know, just drinking the milk and letting other people digest our food for us and then feed us. I really think that God wants us to really to go back to His Word, to study it for ourselves, to use that brain that He gave us, that brain that scientists say most of us only use 5% of what our brain is capable of doing. But, you know, we really need to go back to His Word, to study it, to take the time to spend time in His Word, and not just a quick, you know, snack every day. We've become so easily, you know, entertained by quick devotions, and people will say, and organizations will say, we've had to make it on a third grade level and for people to really easily understand what we're saying. And that has a point. I'm not meaning to criticize those folks, because we do have to grow in this process. We do have to mature. We do have to, I think, matriculate on to from being you know, little babies in Christ, beginners, to grow through this process as we grow through life. looking back, you know, at my age now, I can look back at, and I thought I would never say this, by the way, but I, you know, at 53, I look back at some people that are making mistakes, and you just, you know, always what comes to our mind, I'm sure you said this to the to yourself also, well, they're young, and they have to go through this process, and they will learn. And really, that's okay if you're saying that when they're in their, you know, they're 18, 19, in their mid-20s, 30s. But when they get to be 40 and 50, that no longer applies to people, that they're young and they've got to make these mistakes. Hopefully we start to learn. We start to get wisdom, understanding, knowledge. And that's what really, as you study the Word, I mean, that's what Daniel did. He set himself down. He set his heart to understand. He humbled himself. He prayed to the Lord, and he asked for understanding. And that's the beginning to really to understand and to study Bible prophecy. And that's the example that we use. It's a prime example. It's a great example. Daniel was a great student, and he studied. He understood the times in which he was living because he read the prophet Jeremiah and understood how many years that the Jews, his people, were going to be held in captivity in Babylon. My point is, we really need to study God's Word and understand why it's there and why he put it there. And it's not for us just to come to all these far out equations and who the Antichrist is. I'm reminded Dr. Pentecost always used to say, Dwight Pentecost used to say, and he was a great Dallas Theological Seminary professor, probably the grandfather, so to speak, for our age of Bible prophecy, the teacher of Bible prophecy, a lot of great books. I remember one time he said, you know, people sometimes use Bible prophecy. They get so involved in it that they want to figure out what side that the Antichrist will part his hair on. You have to laugh about that because that's really, people get more involved in who this person is and who that is, and we lose sight of what Bible prophecy is for. It's to motivate us to get our lives right, to live pure, productive, holy lives in an unholy world. And I've said that once. I have said that thousands of times. I know my dad says that thousands of times, because that's really what it's there for, to motivate us to take our eyes off of this world and to start looking as to what's going to take place in the future. And the conditions that and the consequences that God laid down in his word for mankind, that the condition is that they are a sinful man, that without Jesus Christ, they and believing in the death, burial, and resurrection, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that he took away our sins, but believing that Jesus Christ did that, and that's the only way to heaven, that salvation message, man's going to be sentenced eternally to hell. And people nowadays and people throughout eternity and throughout history past have made decisions to reject this offer of salvation that God has provided for man to be reconciled with his Creator. And so through this process, people have rejected Christ, when they're presented with the truth, sometimes people are not given that opportunity to hear the gospel message, that truth that's given, they will pass away into eternity through death without ever hearing that message, and they will be sentenced eternally to hell. I've said this before, God has chosen us to be the bearers to carry forth that message. You know, he gave that to the disciples on the Mount of Olives. He told them, you know, to be a witness to me here in Jerusalem and then Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's what we are to do as believers. We are to tell those around us about what Christ has done, to that message, to tell others in surrounding cities, and to be about this process of sharing with what Christ has done in our lives and how he has saved us. And we believe that, and we are going to have eternal life with him. That's what God's word says. And we want others to hear that too. And understanding the future helps us to understand the urgency and the hour in which we live. And that's why we study Bible prophecy. That's why we teach it. That's why we're involved in it. And as we're going through this process with others, and people are praying in their lives for understanding and the times in which they're living, who to believe, who not to believe, what to do, go to God's Word, study it, listen, set yourself apart to be real students, get into that meat, dissect it, do inductive Bible study, which is something that we always encourage others to do, is to study God's Word and to use the passages and the scriptures and other additional study tools to help you in this process. But really, to take that time to slow down in this fast-paced world in which we live, to spend time letting the Creator communicate with us through his word. And that's so important. And I've talked to so many people who have taken up this process at some point in their life, some later on in life, some find it out and earlier in life as young people, and those are really so much farther ahead as they study through this process and they allow God to start teaching them through the Holy Spirit. And that's really the role of the Holy Spirit, is to teach us and to help us to understand these things that God has put in his word about every aspect of our life and who it applies to. And so as we do this, we are trying to help others and do this. And, I didn't really intend to start and go this route on this. I guess today I was just praying, and, you know, we've had the last 2 weeks of Prophecy Q&A, we joined Dad as he was doing a Prophecy Q&A session at a conference in Florida that he was at, and I really enjoyed those. I hope you did. He's got a great knowledge. He's a student of the Word, which we all should do, no matter what our vocation is, no matter what we're doing in life. We really need to consecrate and set apart a time in a day where we study the words, and not just let. I mean, that's the role of the pastor. He's to teach us, to instruct us, to minister to the body of Christ, to the church. But a lot of times, that's all that some of us do, is either let somebody else tell us what we are to think, or we go to extra biblical writings, books, and that other people have written. Any person, whether it be me, my dad, your pastor, any other teachers, go to God's Word and see what God's Word says about what they are saying. That should be our first. And as you study it, ask God to make you aware, to give you discernment. When things come up that don't sound right, those should be red flags. And if you study, you know, I'm always reminded, I'm sure you've heard this too, the Treasury Department with these Treasury agents that handle, that are always looking for counterfeit dollar bills, counterfeit money. They only handle the real thing, so that when they come across something that's a counterfeit, they know it immediately. As you study, you'll be able to sit in places and you'll be able to know, you know what, that doesn't sound quite right. Let me see what God's Word says about this, and go to the Word. And the good thing to do, the proper thing to do, is if you have a disagreement with your pastor or with a person writing a book or a person on a radio program, you know, just send them a note saying, hey, I disagree with you. I think you're wrong in this area. And do it in love. There's a proper way of doing it. This is that part of that growing up process that we all go through. And a lot of us seem to wait till later on in life to do that. Let me encourage you to, wherever you are in your life, whether you're in your 20s, believe me, I know that we do have teenagers that listen to the program. Whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, no matter where you are in life, as you start to grow in this process, you need to grow. You need to start growing. You need to start studying. You need to start understanding God's Word and how it really you can use it in your life and share with those around you. You know, we live in a dying world. People asking questions, people having no direction, people fearful of when their time is up on this earth, whatever that will be, and their life expectancy, whatever that will be. And again, I remind you, our life is like a vapor that can be just taken away just like that. In this process, there are people out there that are looking for the answers, and we have the answer. We as believers, we have that answer in God's Word, and we need to take it and share it with them and be a light in our community. Let's not just be introspective. Let's look outward, how we can take this message and share it with others. Do that, all areas of your life, and remember to keep the example that Christ gave us as he taught his disciples how to live. That's the example and how we should live on in this earth, and the grace and the love and the steadfastness, and really to measure all that we hear and see against God's Word, and to be that light in the world. Anyway, that's my short little message for today for those. And some of that has to do with some of the questions that come into us. You know, I was reading through these, and I know that we can't always get to them, but in this process of reading these, some of the questions that I have read, I gave you some of the answers there. Let's take some of those questions. Chris Jackson sends in a question in regards to the School of Prophets Lesson 1. I just learned about the fullness of the Gentiles. My question is, when does that end? The Feast of Atonement, or at the time when the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation, when the Jews' eyes will be open and they must flee for Petra, or some other time? Chris, the fullness of the Gentiles takes place at the rapture of the church. That's when all of those of the Gentile world will be added to the body of Christ. That's at the rapture of the church. That's when the fullness of the Gentiles comes to a completion. Those three strands of the human family, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. Christians are complete. The body of Christ, or the church, is complete at the rapture of the church. Now, there will be people that will be saved during the tribulation period, but they are not added to the church. They are a part of the family. They will be ushered into the millennial kingdom, but the fullness of the Gentiles takes place when the rapture of the church takes place, when that last person accepts Christ as their personal Savior. And that's when God says to his son, "Son, go get your children, go get your bride, go get the body of Christ." Thanks, Chris, for that question. Hopefully that helps you. Sangha Goodnow sends in a question. Mr. DeYoung, are we near the rapture? How close are we? Thank you, Sangha. Sangha, let me just tell you this. You will hear my dad say, you'll hear me say, and in fact, a lot of prophecy teachers that believe that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. There are no other prophecies to be fulfilled. I feel like we are right now. I believe that the rapture of the church could take place at any moment. I believe that it could happen the next moment after that. We believe it could happen. As a matter of fact, a couple prophecy teachers I know jokingly say that they don't even buy green bananas anymore because those green bananas won't have time to ripen. That's how close that they feel that we are to the rapture. We live expecting every single moment for the rapture to take place, and it could happen at any moment. There are no other prophecies to be fulfilled. There are 500 prophecies left, and we are seeing prophecies that are being set up, the close fulfillment of these prophecies that are going to happen after the rapture of the church. If we're so close to those prophecies being fulfilled, and that's why we keep our eyes on what's happening around the world, just indicates to us how close that we are to the rapture of the church. Thank you, Sangha, for sending in that question. Tyler McDonald sends in a question. I've been trying to find info on this blood moon craze from your website. And I believe, Tyler, and you say that you're not a fan of John Hagee's, but have friends falling all over his teachings. And not only his teachings, there are a lot of people that are now talking about the blood moons. I do believe on our website now, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at it, Dave James has put together a great article on the blood moons and what they essentially mean. Dad has talked about it, interviewed Dave on it, has interviewed several. So I believe that you'll be able to find enough information that will help you to understand what the blood moons mean and that we have covered this topic. So go to our website, Prophecy Today. You'll find more information from Dave James on the blood moons. I. Lee King writes in a question, would you please explain why the Philistines are not the Palestinians today? And where did the Palestinians go? Well, the Palestinians are not the Philistines of today, and we believe that the Palestinians are the descendants of Esau. We have a great video, Esau and the Palestinians. Jacob's twin brother Esau, if you remember that story told to us in the book of Genesis, Jacob and Esau were born, and they struggled within the womb. Esau was sent to Edom. They become the Edomites. From there, they left and came over into southern Israel, to the Negev, where they became the Idumeans. Of course, one of the great Edomites or Idumeans would be Herod the Great and the descendants. And we track that all the way through to the Palestinians of today. So they're definitely not the Philistines. The Philistines were a people who, as part of the Sea People, appeared in the southern coastal area of Cana at the beginning of the Iron Age, most probably from the Aegean region. According to the Bible, they ruled the five city-states, Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and Gath, from Wadi Gaza in the south to the Yarkon River in the north, but with no fixed border. And of course, you remember they were one of Israel's main enemies in the Bible, and they were assumed, or really they were taken over by the Assyrians, and they pretty much lost all identity and all of their culture. Philistine people were assumed by the Assyrians and were crushed around the 5th century B.C. Jerry Claxton sends in a question. He says, thank you, Jimmy. Which of these three temples will be the Ezekiel temple? Greatly appreciate your daily devotions. Jerry, as you know, Ezekiel's temple is not going to be on the earth until the millennial kingdom. The scenario is the rapture of the church takes place, and then the seven-year period called the tribulation starts when the Antichrist confirms a peace agreement with Israel. That's Daniel 9:27. And at this process, that's when the Antichrist allows the Jewish people to rebuild a temple that is in the city of, that will be in the city of Jerusalem, that temple that the Jews are preparing to build now. That's not Ezekiel's temple. In fact, there is no holy significance to that temple. The Jews, though, are putting together everything according to biblical standards from past temples and from this temple that's talked about in Ezekiel, beginning chapter 42. The Jews today are studying the specifications for that temple, but the temple that they're preparing to build now is the temple that will stand during the tribulation period that the Antichrist will walk into, according to Daniel, according to Matthew, according to 2 Thessalonians, that Christ talked about, the abomination of desolations, and that temple is there for the purpose for the Antichrist to go into to set himself up to be God and to turn his back on the Jewish people. Also, I believe it's there for us to have an indication of how close that we are to the rapture of the church. Ezekiel's temple that's talked about in Ezekiel 42 and the last six chapters of the book of Ezekiel, 42 to 46, that temple is laid out. That temple will be on the earth during the millennial period. That's the temple that Jesus Christ will build, that he will rule and reign from with David as co-regent in the city of Jerusalem. Thank you, Jerry, for sending in that question. Tony Shelton sends in a question. Recently, many theologians have written articles about the return of the Nephilim. Many of them are saying that the Nephilim, the giants, are returning or have returned to Earth. What is your opinion on this comment? Well, Tony, let me just tell you this about that. Dad has done articles and has done interviews with Dave James and several other men about the Nephilim. And I would encourage you, that's a great debate that's going on. In fact, it's a whole new topic that's being brought in. Go to our PTRN website and from our Prophecy Today website, and you can hear that interview that Dad did with some of these men. I may have asked you this next question before. What is the order of upcoming battles? Will it be the battle discussed in Isaiah 17:1 or Psalm 83? Isaiah 38 and 39, and then Armageddon. The next battle that we believe that will take place is the alignment of the nations that are coming together, talked about in Ezekiel 38, Daniel chapter 11 and Psalm 83. That will be the battle of Gog and Magog that will take place. That's basically the Islamic world coming against Israel. In short, Tony, that will be the next battle, and then Armageddon takes place at the end of the seven-year period of time when the Antichrist gathers all the nations of the world to the city of Jerusalem to wipe out the Jewish people, to take control of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ will come out of the heavenlies. The Antichrist with his army start making their way to the Jezreel Valley in the central portion, the north central part of Israel, the Jezreel Valley, where the Valley of Megiddo, or the Valley of the Mountains, and where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. Thank you for sending in your question. Hey, let me tell you real quick. I am reminded of some of our questions about people that do want to study. We, February 24th through the 28th in Shreveport, Louisiana, we have our LBU, Louisiana Baptist University Prophecy Conference, where we'll be teaching at the university there. You can join us in person, or you can join us online. You can attend the conference online. You can watch it as it will be videoed and sent to your computer. You can sit there. You'll be able to download notes and things like that so that you can follow along. And if you're you can receive undergraduate credit and graduate credit available through this process. Dad will be teaching. He's going to be teaching the book of Revelation, which really is where it all started for him. He was asked to teach the book of Revelation, not to adults, but back in 1972, he was asked to teach the book of Revelation to 8 to 11-year-old and children. And he had to come up with a process, a way of doing this, so that he could take this meat and make it and digest it for these little ones so that they could understand. And he still to this day, we get letters and notes and encouragement from people that have heard him and listened to him as he taught through the book of Revelation way back then and developed his walkthrough, which I use, a lot of people use now. It's a real easy way to understand the timeline as it unfolds after the rapture of the church and what's going to take place after that. Real helps you to really understand the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is God's final word to man, and the timeline of the last days is revealed to Christians in the book. It's a mosaic of biblical prophecy containing input from all the prophetic passages within the Word of God, and then coming to a conclusion of God's plan for humankind before entering into eternity future. And that's really the whole, the gist of this class that he'll be teaching. The book is filled with symbolism. An example of apocalyptic literature can be difficult to understand. That's always, people say, you know, I read this, I have no clue what it's talking about, especially when simply reading it from the beginning to end. And of course, we teach that you have to read it in chronological order. Dad will take you on that walkthrough, and he'll teach the order of the book of Revelation in its proper order, and the events as they will take place. And, you know, he'll be sharing his insights into the true meaning and doing it so in an easy to understand and practical way so that you can understand as you go to start teaching it to others. And that's our whole purpose for this. It's a great class. If you're not going to be taking it for graduate level courses, of course, if you have an undergrad degree, you can do it as a postgraduate. You can take it and maybe even start working towards your graduate degree, you know, as you work through. And maybe this is something that some decide at this point in their life, whether you're a pastor, an associate pastor, or a layperson in the church, or a Sunday school teacher, and you say, hey, I've already got this degree. I might want to start learning and take this and further my education and see where God takes me with this as I study his word. And you could do that through this conference. So Dad will be teaching the book of Revelation. We also are going to be teaching through the PASS program, our It's a brand new program. It's the School of Prophets PASS program that we have, and it's also been developed for homeschool students. Any homeschool students or families out there listening, you can come. You could take an introduction to the study of Bible prophecy. The study of Bible prophecy is an important one, and one that God has promised to bless. And yet many Bible teachers and pastors do not cover Bible prophecy. In some respects, it's because they just don't understand. They don't understand it. And it's too controversial of a subject for them to start to teach in their church, because then all of a sudden people get divided and all of this. Well, for whatever reason, pastors really don't cover that. Dad and I will both be co-teaching on this. We're going to give an overview of the main topics of Bible prophecy, the four major trends that we look at in Bible prophecy that we keep our eyes on, and that's what we do on our website, Prophecy Today. Almost every day, we keep our eyes on these events because we feel that these are the very next things to happen after the rapture of the church. And so understanding how these events are unfolding today really helps us to understand how close that we are to the rapture of the church and the urgency of the times in which we are living. And it helps us to understand why our world is acting as it is. So that's a great class, an introduction to the study of Bible prophecy. For those of you that are interested in our past program, you say, you know what, I might want to sit in on the Revelation class or Dave James's class on God's plan through the ages, or Jimmy on your class as you teach through Daniel. But I just would like to sit through them. I'm not really working on my seminary degree, my graduate degree. You can come and just attend and be a part and take notes and further your education. And if you would like to, the PASS program, this is the first class in the PASS program, an introduction to the study of Bible prophecy. You can enroll in that, and there's six classes in that. The keys to understanding Bible prophecy, the four major trends, and then we look at Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation, and those books in that program. And there are workbooks that go with that, and you can do that all online later on. You could take that first class there. So for past students, we encourage you to come down, be a part of that with us. Of course, Dave James is going to be teaching a class, a seminary level class, for those that are interested in a graduate program. And of course, again, you can sit through the class, God's Plan Through the Ages. This course offers a panoramic study of God's Word from creation to the final judgment and the new creation within a dispensational framework and understanding of the scriptures and history. And it's helping you put it all together from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. God's plan through the ages. God does have a plan for all of mankind. He has a plan for each one of us in this whole process. What is that plan for all of mankind, and how, as a person, through understanding God's plan for all of mankind, how does that help me and understand God's plan for me? The role that I play in God's, I would say, his big picture. I always liken it to the fact that, you know, as you look at a flat screen TV, there are lots of pixels, and those pixels are what make up that picture. And we are all just a pixel in God's big picture. And what is our role? And understanding that, what that role is, really will help you give you purpose to life. No matter where you are, no matter what age you are in life, as you go through, as you're looking at this, you start to understand and you ask that question, all right, God, what do you want me to do? What is it what role do you have for me? What should I do in my local church, in my community, in my neighborhood, in my family? This will help you understand that, because you understand God's plan for all of mankind. It's a great class. Dave James comes. He's our dean of our school that we have, our Bible school that we have, our online Bible program that we have through Louisiana Baptist University. It helps tie all the themes of God's purposes and programs of establishing his kingdom of righteousness, Satan's opposition to that program, and the conflict of the ages. Satan's main goal is to defeat God and to defeat his angels and to defeat mankind. And each one of those, we understand through God's word, Satan is not going to give up, but there, God has a plan for Satan and a judgment for him, an eternal judgment for Satan. This course will trace Satan's persistent attempts all through history to defeat God and to thwart his plan and his consistent promises and provisions for ultimate victory, which he decisively achieves at the end of the age. And so understanding that will help us to understand. Again, if you want to go and you want to be a part of our prophecy conference that we have, whether it be online or attend, come join with us. Come to Shreveport, Louisiana. Be with us there February 24th through the 28th. Time is short. If you can't make it there in person, join with us online. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. You'll take a look at that and see if you would like to be a part of that and join with us. We also have coming up in April 23rd through May 6th, we have our trip to Israel. So many times people ask us, what can I do? I really want to study more. I want to really to understand the message and God's word. And there's no better way to really to understand it. I mean, you could study it, but really going to the land, and you could go. There are many trips that are out there. We encourage you to look at ours. We'd love to have you come with us. We take a look at Israel past, present, and future, what God's plan for Israel is in the future, where it all started, Israel in the past. You get to really understand why Christ used some of the methodology that he used in telling parables in the New Testament, and how he was really driving home a point to his disciples, his followers that followed him. It's a great trip. We start out in Jerusalem, and we'll go to the Galilee, spend three days up there, looking at, again, Israel past, present, and the future. One of my favorite places. I mean, Jerusalem is definitely a favorite. Going to the Temple Mount, understanding our teaching on why we feel that that is the Garden of Eden, as talked about in Genesis chapter 1, and why we feel that way. But then also going up to the Galilee to see where Jesus had his ministry headquarters at Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful place. Never get tired of seeing it. I've probably been there over 200 times myself through doing television with Day of Discovery. John Ankerberg doing tours all these years, both adult and young people. Never get tired of going to the Galilee to see it. Never get tired of going to Israel. I know if you're someone that likes to teach the word and or to study it, you will never look at God's word the same again. That's April 23rd through May 2nd, the Israel portion. If you want to go on to Petra, we go down to Eilat on the Red Sea, cross over, go to Petra. It'll be a great time to see where we believe God will protect the Jews in the wilderness. Come join with us. We'll spend lots of time. Our third temple seminar in the city of Jerusalem. We'll go to Masada, to the Dead Sea. There's a lot that we give you in the 8 days that you're in the land of Israel. And if you happen to go to Petra with us, that makes it 12 days over there. And, of course, if you look at our site, there are those that are going to go on to Turkey and Rome after that, and with my dad to do more study, seven churches in the book of Revelation. Go to visit those seven churches in Turkey, plus Istanbul, and then go on to the city of Rome, where on site you'll get teaching on the false church, as it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 17. Those are things that we have coming up. Hopefully you'll take a look at some of those things and be a part of what we are doing. Folks, we are living in the last days and taking a look at everything that's happening around us. We are anticipating the rapture to take place at any moment. After seeing all these things that are happening around the world and how the world is acting as it is, let's keep looking up until...